How, look at your notes. How do we live? By law or grace? And how can you know? Okay? How can you know? Let's try to understand what it means to live by the law. Because, according to your notes, living by the law is not bad. Okay? It's not bad. To want to desire to obey God's word, to follow his commands, is a good thing. But the law's purpose is to lead us to Christ. We need to understand the law's purpose. And if we miss the main purpose of the law, we can experience some good from the law. I tell you, as you try to follow God's law, you'll be blessed. It's good that you do that. But Paul explained that God gave the law to be like a guardian and a tutor to watch us, to hold us responsible while we were immature, though. It means that we needed protection of the law because we had not grown to understand and we weren't developed in the way that God ultimately desires us to be developed. So let's make sure that we haven't missed the main purpose. So let's look further. Here's how Paul actually said this in Galatians chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, which is an heir like of a royalty, we are the heirs of God through Christ. Amen. The heir, as long as he is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, though he's master of all. But look, he's under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. He's not supposed to stay under the guardian and steward all the time. So even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world, the basic elements of the world, which is the law. God gave us law so there would be order for our protection. But that was for a time, only a time. But look what it says. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. He was born under the law. He was born a Jew. He lived according to the law of God, the law of Moses. But look, to redeem those who were under the law. To redeem means to buy us back. So God actually wanted to buy us back from living under the law, in order that we might receive the adoptions as sons. That's how we're to live, as God's sons. And he says, and because you are sons, here's what God does for his sons. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, amen, crying out, Abba, which is the Hebrew word for father, so that we can have a direct relationship with our father. In the Greek and Roman world, oftentimes the father had to be away from home. And so the son, while he was young, could not go with the father, couldn't have a relationship with the father, couldn't see his father, couldn't talk with his father. So what did his father do for his son's good? Here, son, I'm assigning you a steward, a tutor, a guardian to go with you to school and to watch over you while I'm away. You're under this tutor, the guardian. But when the son grows up, he wants the son to have a direct relationship with him. And God wants us to have a direct relationship with him through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Not just know him by trying to live according to the law. That's a good thing, but that's living like a child. Maybe that's where you are still. And it's not a bad thing. Maybe you're still just trying to obey God's commands, but you don't really know him as your father by his Holy Spirit. A lot of people are in that state and don't even realize it. God gave the law through Moses. And we're saying that the law was only a guardian, a tutor for a time, while we were children, while we were undeveloped, while we were immature. But God gives his Spirit through his son Jesus. Yes. See, the law only tells us what to do. Like a child, do this, do that, don't do that, don't do this. But the Spirit empowers us with an ability to do. We receive power from the Holy Spirit. We only receive instruction from the law, but we receive power, an infusion of power through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
This is what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. Look and notice, for what the law could not do. See, there are things the law can't do. Even if you're trying to obey God's law, you're trying to keep His command, there are things even trying to do that you're not going to be able to do. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Okay, there's the reason the law couldn't do it right there. Oh, the law was weak through the flesh. We'll talk about that some more. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh. You see, as long as you're in the flesh, that weakens the law. But if we're not walking according to the flesh, we're walking according to the Spirit. We're going to be able to do according to the Spirit what we could not do trying to walk according to the law because it was weak to the flesh. We'll talk about that some more. If you have some questions, hopefully it'll become more clear. Why was the law unable to do? We just read, it was weak through the flesh. What does that mean? The problem with flesh is that sin is in the flesh. Now I want us to get this tonight. Everybody here. The reason we are sinners is because we were born with this disease. An internal spiritual virus called sin. In you, living in every single one of you. You are sick on the inside because sin was in there, making you do what you do. Corrupting you, controlling you, manipulating you on your inside. And Paul talked about this sin being the law of sin in our members. And it's producing every evil desire. Sin is causing that. And sin makes everyone prisoners of their own passions.
Yes.
It makes you a slave of your own desires. Your own choices, your own will. Sin is at work on the inside like a computer virus that Satan infected everyone with. And is corrupting everyone in the background. And most people do not even realize it's sin at work on the inside. So in order to make us aware of this condition, God designed something and actually designed the law. It's through the law we become aware that we have this condition on the inside. This condition is very difficult for anyone as long as they're still under sin's control, because sin in the flesh controls our mind. It's what Paul said in Romans 8. Because the mind of the flesh, in other words, the mind being controlled by sin, the mind of the flesh is enmity. That's another word for hatred. The mind of the flesh is hostile towards God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh, in other words, those who are still under sin's control, cannot please God, even if they're trying to keep His commandments. And this condition creates the struggle that Paul describes in Romans chapter 7. Do you remember what he described? This struggle? Let's look at it. Here's what Paul described in Romans 7. And see how many of you can relate to this. For what I'm doing, I don't understand. For what I want to do or what I choose to do, I don't practice it. But what I hate, in other words, what I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. Wait a minute then. But look what Paul discovered. If I'm doing what I don't want to do,
wait, I agree that the law is good. I don't think I should do that. I agree with God. I shouldn't get angry. I shouldn't have a pity party. I shouldn't run at the mouth. I shouldn't say, I agree. Then why am I doing it if I agree? But now, look, I want you to hear this, guys. It's no longer I. Do you realize that? It's not you. It's not you. It's not you. It's sin in you. You get it? Some of you are beating yourself up. You keep asking, why are you doing it? It is not you. It is sin dwelling in you. And that's what Paul said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to actually do the good, I don't find it. You see why? Because the law could never overcome sin in the flesh. It wasn't designed to. The law has no power. Sin is more powerful than the law. And as long as sin was in you, even if you agreed that the law is good, and you're trying to follow the law, you can't. Not with sin in control. And so in other words, well, why then, God knowing that? Look at this. It, not only is it that bad, it's even worse. Sin uses the law to kill people.
Yes.
Isn't it? Doesn't it? The soul that sins shall die. Well, what does sin try to make people do? Sin. Sin wants to get you because it wants you to die. It's Satan's tool. Sin seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment. And notice it is sin produced in me every kind of coveting. Do you realize it was sin doing that? For apart from the law, sin is dead. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me and through the commandment put me to death. Because if I sin, the soul that sins shall die. So sin actually uses the law against me. Wow. Sin is you, that inward sin in me is using the law against me. Yeah, Rudy.
Is it right? This question, is it right to say that this is for people who have not come to the Lord fully?
Yes.
Because the same apostle Paul, he said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature.
Yep.
The old has passed away, the new has come in.
Ten paciencia.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting there. Yeah, that's where we're headed here tonight. Okay. All right. Because it is Paul through this struggle. Paul is using his own experience to bring us the understanding he received. And here's the Paul was given this understanding. The sting of death is sin. That's what kills. Why? It's sin that causes death. But the power of sin is the law? Yes, the law. That sin uses the law, then, well, this is why the law can never save anyone. You'll never be saved simply by trying to obey God's commands. And you'll never be completely righteous simply by trying to obey God's commands. Because look, the law has no cure for sin in the flesh. There's no cure. Oh, no. That's what Paul discovered. What a terrible state to be in. Now, this is interesting, and I want you to pay very close attention here. You know what the law did have? It did have sacrifices for sins. Sins, not sin, not that evil, corrupt, spiritual virus in you. No, the things that you did wrong. You know, remember the law said if you did this wrong, you could bring this animal and you could offer this animal and by killing the animal, you could be forgiven. Okay? But listen, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, look, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. It never...
those sacrifices never perfected anyone. It didn't cure them. It didn't change them. They kept sinning. And what do they have to do? Keep bringing the sacrifice. That's the way some of us know Jesus Christ right there. Some of us just come back to Him. Forgive me again, Lord. Come back to Him again next year. Forgive me again, Lord. Come back to Him again. That's all you know. You know Him like an Old Testament sacrifice. You don't know Him like who He is. You're living under the law. Yes. And you just come to Him like He's one of those animals that was shed for you so you could be forgiven. And that's all you know. That's living under the law.
Yes.
That's not the new covenant. That's not the whole truth. Otherwise, the writer of Hebrews said, would those sacrifice, if they were able to actually make the worshiper perfect, wouldn't they have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all. But the law doesn't cure them, does it? And those type of sacrifices don't cure the person. They don't cleanse the person. And they wouldn't have even longer felt guilty for their sins. You know what those sacrifices are? They're an annual reminder of sins. And here's, let me tell you something. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins.
The problem is that the sacrifices became a mechanical, automatic thing.
Well, and that's, Rudy, that sadly, a lot of people, Jesus is that way to them.
Is this also why they refer to Christians or those who come to the law, I mean, not to the law, but Christ, that they're drinking milk to begin with?
Yeah, in a way. It's just they're just the basics. They've not moved past the basics. Let's go on because we'll see it becomes even clearer. See, this is what I said. But I want y'all to really focus on this. Many people only see Jesus as a sacrifice to forgive sins similar to those in the law. And some are actually told that at the Mass week after week. Here's another time. Forgive us of our sins. We're not worthy. Just say the word. We'll be healed. It's just, that's all they really know, is they keep coming back to Jesus and they look at the cross and one more time for their guilt and for the problems they're having and the sins they're committing, they say, Jesus, we look to You and thank You that You died so that I can be forgiven. And guys, that's only half the truth. Mm-hmm. That's only half the truth. Many know that on the cross, Jesus' death paid the penalty of our sins. They know that. That's a good, and it's good to know that. Milk, that's a good starting point. And that through faith in His sacrifice, we can have our sins forgiven. That's important. And that's right. That's not wrong. But that's not the whole truth. More happened on the cross than just Him being a sacrifice to pay for our sins so we can be forgiven. What's the other half? Ah, this is the other half. Remember when Paul, back when he was talking in his struggle, and he said, wait a minute, if I don't want to do this and I keep doing it, and the things that I want to do I don't end up doing, it's no longer I, but sin that lives in me. And then he came to this place. Oh, what a wretched man I am. You realize what he realized? He couldn't, if he didn't have the power to actually do it, he was helpless on his own. He, with sin in control, making him a slave, he felt like, this is wretched. Oh, how terrible. Then it hit him. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now notice, not forgives me, delivers me, sets me free, redeems me, sets me free from sin. That's the part that Satan doesn't want us to discover. I don't think Satan minds us coming back to the cross, looking at Jesus on the cross and asking Him to forgive us again and again and again. He does not want us to realize He died that we could be set free from sin. And look what Paul said in Romans 6. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we will certainly also be united with Him in a resurrection like His. For we know that, look, do you know this? That your old self was crucified with Him? Your old nature, that person controlled by sin, that old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. And that's the whole truth. Not just forgiveness from sin, freedom from sin. Freedom from being a slave. See, the law could never save. Here's a question then. Well, if the law could never save us, if the law could never set us free, well, why did God give the law then? Isn't that a valid question? Now, why would he give it if it couldn't cure anything? Well, Paul explains that without the law, we would never become aware of the presence of sin. That's how you realize there's something wrong. God gives you these commands, and you agree with them, and then you realize you can't do them. Something's wrong with me. Something's really, really wrong with me. The law is what enables us to discover we have cancer. No one seeks a cure if they don't know they got the cancer. Right? Until you know what the real problem is, you don't just need to be forgiven. You need to be cured. You need to be set free from sin. And the law can't do it. Only one person has the power to set men free from sin. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He sets men free from sin.
Amen.
And that's the whole story.
Amen.
The law just exposes the cancer. That's all it does. It was designed, it's like the X-ray machine. It brings us to awareness of what we needed to be cured from. And then that's how the law leads us to Christ. Because it realizes there's only one place to be cured, and that's through the Lord Jesus. And so through being united with Jesus in his life, this is what empowers us to overcome sin. And we need his Spirit, because we need to be reprogrammed. God sends his Spirit in us and the life of Jesus. Now his grace works in us. His wisdom, his kindness, his love, his strength, his purity, his holiness is now working on the inside, overcoming the power and the influence of sin. That's the whole truth. That's the truth of the gospel. And in a way, so that you can understand how this works, being united with Christ is similar to the way they graft fruit trees. If you and some of you enjoy good fruit, oranges, apples, plums, cherries, do you realize that the way they get that fruit is by grafting? Here's what a graft is. A graft is two different trees put together. The lower part of the tree is just called the common rootstock. And that they just want the rootstock to be fairly healthy. It doesn't even have to be a fruit tree. They just want it to be drought resistant. They want it to be solid and strong. But because they know once they do what they're going to do, it's not going to determine whatever the lower part is not going to determine the fruit at all. It's just going to draw nutrition, and it's just going to draw moisture, and it's going to feed the upper part, but it's not going to affect the fruit. You see, what they do is they cut that old rootstock. They cut it right off. And they take a branch of the kind of fruit they want, and they take that branch and they put it together on that old rootstock. And because when they put that branch on that old rootstock, everything above that place where they put it together is determined by what was put on top. And you see, once, I don't care about our old man. I don't care that we came from Adam. I don't care how bad we were. When we are united with Christ, Christ Jesus is grafted into us. Amen. And we start to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because
what is that word?
Skion is a skion or skion is a, it actually means a noble son, a descendant of a noble one. That's what they actually named it. And man, and when, I mean, the descendant of God himself is grafted onto us. And that's what determines the, what the fruit that is born in our lives. So, how do we know Jesus? That's the question for tonight. How do we know him? Do you only know Jesus as the sacrifice for your sins? Is that the only way you've known him? Jesus, forgive me, and Jesus, keep forgiving me, and please forgive me, and Jesus, forgive me, and Jesus, forgive, I mean, just the same year. Is it the same thing? Or has the realization of the cancer of sin living in you, has that led you to Jesus Christ like it did to Paul? Who will save me from this condition? And you've come to Jesus for his power to make you a new person. Do you know him that way? That's the way we're supposed to know him.
Thank you.
In real freedom. And it's okay. If you haven't got there yet, that's the goal. That's the place to get. The law is put into effect to bring us there. It's a process. But if we're only looking for forgiveness, I want you to catch this. If you're only looking for forgiveness, that's just like the people of the law, right? Every year, they bring their little sacrifice. They put their hand on there. They confess their sin. That little animal is killed. And they walk away. They're forgiven. You know? Yeah.
You know what they do to a tree that doesn't produce fruit? Oh.
They cut it down? No. What do they do?
No. This was taught to me by a retired colonel who taught at TMI.
Okay.
He was a biologist. And he said that farmers, this was shared with them, they get a nail, mm-hmm. and they get it on the base of the tree, and they stack it into the tree. And the next year, it'll produce fruit. Because you produce suffering into the tree.
Wow.
You made it suffer. Wow.
And
with Christ, when he was pierced,
yes,
and he was suffering for our sins, the same thing is like if we don't produce fruit, guess what?
Pruning,
and if you don't produce fruit,
mm-hmm.
it's gonna cause you to suffer.
Yeah.
So you can produce fruit for him.
Yeah.
But
even part of our suffering, God uses the struggle we have.
Yeah.
To bring us to the full answer that Jesus Christ Himself is our cure. Okay, and this is what it means to live by grace. Because Jesus Christ is God's grace.
Amen.
All of God's wisdom is through Jesus. Everything that God wants us to have comes through Jesus. And it's all by grace. But every single thing, here's what the scripture says. He was full of grace. And of his fullness, we have received grace for grace. I mean, that's... It is through Jesus Christ we receive grace. And it takes the grace of Jesus Christ to cure a man. The Old Testament sacrifices could cause a man to be forgiven, but never cured. Yeah, Sam?
There's a claim I have heard that the people that go every week ask for pardon for the same sin, all they're doing is crucifying the Lord over.
Well, it's a good point, Jim. I think what they're realizing is they only know him like the Old Testament law. That's all they know. And it's not that that's wrong. They need forgiveness, don't they? But it's like Satan's keeping them in that rut. And he doesn't want to set them free. Like the young man that I saw being anointed by the bishop, you know, received the Spirit. And in the back of his hair was AC/DC. Was the, you know? I don't want to pick on them. I just want to make sure that we here realize something. If you have not come to Jesus himself for his power, the power of his life through the Holy Spirit, I've been emphasizing, we need to learn to live by the Holy Spirit because that is the life of Jesus Christ that cures the cancer. We don't want to just keep coming to church to have forgiveness or to have our guilt, to feel better for our guilt. We want to be changed. And it takes receiving Jesus himself through his spirit to experience this change. Yeah, Tom.
So would it be wrong when you come to God in daily prayer or nightly prayer to ask God to forgive you for the sins that you might not be aware of?
No, no, not at all. And search me. And
yes.
Lord, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. And strengthen me by your grace. And fill me with your wisdom.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's like, yeah, if you have missed it and you've done something wrong, that's what it says. If we sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then go on the offensive. Lord, I need more wisdom. I need more discernment. Fill me with more of your grace. Strengthen me with more of your power so that I can be more alert and more sober and more ready. You know, help me get my armor on correctly. You know, yeah.
But the thing is, tomorrow, to avoid doing the things we did today, and then the day after, to avoid the things, because that's one
Great.
Way of...
Well, this is why we all need to be led by the Spirit.
Amen.
Because tomorrow, the pastor won't be with you. But Jesus Christ will be.
Amen.
By the Holy Spirit. Everywhere you go, every moment, every second, the Holy Spirit will be right there. And that's why we need to learn to live by the Spirit.
Tomorrow you will be with us.
Oh.
Oh.
All right.